I bet you can't guess what the creatures were. Hello there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. This is episode number 229, and I'm Steve Webb, your host. Welcome. In our reading today, we'll read numbers 1 through 5, and then I'll have some comments for you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we offer you thanks today for the gift of life. We thank you for what you've done for us and what you've given us. Everything we have has come from you, Lord, and we acknowledge that now. The roof over our head, the food in our belly, the clothes on our back. Thank you, Lord. As we read your word today, open our hearts so that we can understand what you have to say to us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's get started. Numbers chapter 1. The Lord spoke to Moses in the Sinai desert in the meeting tent on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they left the land of Egypt. Take a census of the entire Israelite community by their clans and their households, recording the name of every male 20 years old and above who is eligible for military service in Israel. These you and Aaron will enlist in their military units. Take with you one man from each tribe who is the head of his household. These are the names of the men who will assist you. From Reuben, Elizur, Shedeur's son. From Simeon, Shelumiel, Zurishaddai's son. From Judah, Nashon, Amminadab's son. From Issachar, Nathanael, Zuhur's son. From Zebulun, Eliab, Helon's son. From Joseph's sons. From Ephraim, Elishama, Ammiud's son. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, Pedazur's son. From Benjamin, Abidan, Gideon's son. From Dan, Ahiezer, Amishaddai's son. From Asher, Pagiel, Achran's son. From Gad, Eliasaph, Deuel's son. From Naphtali, Ahira, Enan's son. These are the ones appointed from the community, chiefs of their ancestral tribes and leaders of the divisions of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men, who were selected by name, and they assembled the entire community on the first day of the second month. They registered them by their clans and their households, recording the name of each male 20 years old and above. Moses enlisted them in the Sinai desert just as the Lord commanded him. There were the descendants of Reuben, Israel's oldest, registered by their clans and their households. Every man 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, was individually recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. There were the descendants of Simeon, registered by their clans and their households. Every male, 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, was individually recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Simeon were 59,300. There were the descendants of Gad, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Gad were 45,650. There were the descendants of Judah, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Judah were 74,600. There were the descendants of Issachar, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. There were the descendants of Zebulun, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Zebulun were 57,400. From Joseph's descendants, there were the descendants of Ephraim, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Ephraim were 40,500. There were the descendants of Manasseh, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. There were the descendants of Benjamin, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. There were the descendants of Dan, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Dan were 62,700. There were the descendants of Asher, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Asher were 41,500. There were the descendants of Naphtali, registered by their clans and their households. The men 20 years old and above, eligible for military service, were recorded by name. Those enlisted from the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. These are the ones who were enlisted by Moses, Aaron, and the 12 chiefs of Israel, each from his own household. All the Israelites 20 years old and above, eligible for military service in Israel, were enlisted by their households. All those enlisted were 603,550. But the Levites, belonging to their own ancestral tribe, weren't enlisted along with them. The Lord spoke to Moses, "You must not enlist the tribe of Levi, nor should you take their census along with the Israelites. Rather, assign the Levites to the covenant dwelling, to all its equipment, and to everything that belongs to it. They will carry the dwelling and all its equipment, perform its religious ceremonies, and camp around the dwelling. When it's time to break camp, the Levites will take down the dwelling, and when it's time to make camp, the Levites will set up the dwelling. Any other person who approaches will be put to death. The Israelites will camp, each in their own place, under the banner of their own military unit. But the Levites will camp around the covenant dwelling, so that God's anger will not strike the Israelite community. The Levites will guard the covenant dwelling." The Israelites did everything exactly as the Lord commanded Moses. Numbers chapter 2. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. He said, "The people of Israel must camp around the tent of meeting, but they must not camp too close to it. All of them must camp under their flags and under the banners of their families. The companies of the camp of Judah must be on the east side. They must set up camp toward the sunrise. They must camp under their flag. The leader of the tribe of Judah is Nashon, the son of Amminadab. There are 74,600 men in his company. The tribe of Issachar will camp next to them. The leader of the tribe of Issachar is Nethanel, the son of Zuar. There are 54,400 men in his company. The tribe of Zebulun will be next. The leader of the tribe of Zebulun is Eliab, the son of Helon. There are 57,400 men in his company. So a total of 186,400 men will be set apart for the camp of Judah. They will be arranged company by company. They will start out first. The companies of the camp of Reuben will be on the south side. They will be under their flag. The leader of the tribe of Reuben is Elizur, the son of Shedeur. There are 46,500 men in his company. The tribe of Simeon will camp next to them. The leader of the tribe of Simeon is Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. There are 59,300 men in his company. The tribe of Gad will be next. The leader of the tribe of Gad is Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. There are 45,650 men in his company. So a total of 151,450 men will be set apart for the camp of Reuben. They will be arranged company by company. They will start out second. Then the camp of the Levites will start out. The tent of meeting will go with them. They will march in the middle of the other camps. They will start out in the same order as they do when they set up camp. Each one will be in his own place under his flag. The companies of the camp of Ephraim will be on the west side. They will be under their flag. The leader of the tribe of Ephraim is Elishama, the son of Ammiud. There are 40,500 men in his company. The tribe of Manasseh will be next to them. The leader of the tribe of Manasseh is Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. There are 32,200 men in his company. The tribe of Benjamin will be next. The leader of the tribe of Benjamin is Abidan, the son of Gideoni. There are 35,400 men in his company. So a total of 108,100 men will be set apart for the camp of Ephraim. They will be arranged company by company. They will start out third. The companies of the camp of Dan will be on the north side. They will be under their flag. The leader of the tribe of Dan is Ahiezer, the son of Ammishaddai. There are 62,700 men in his company. The tribe of Asher will camp next to them. The leader of the tribe of Asher is Pagiel, the son of Ochran. There are 41,500 men in his company. The tribe of Naphtali will be next. The leader of the tribe of Naphtali is Ahira, the son of Enan. There are 53,400 men in his company. So a total of 157,600 men will be set apart for the camp of Dan. They will start out last. They will march under their flags. Those are the men of Israel. They were counted in keeping with their families. The total number of all the men who were in the camps is 603,550, company by company. But the Levites weren't counted along with the other men of Israel. That's what the Lord had commanded Moses. So the people of Israel did everything the Lord had commanded Moses. That's the way they set up camp under their flags. And that's the way they started out. Each man marched out with his own tribe and family. Numbers chapter 3. When the Lord talked with Moses on Mount Sinai, Aaron's four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, were the ones to be ordained as priests. But the Lord killed Nadab and Abihu in the Sinai desert when they used fire that was unacceptable in their offering to the Lord. And because Nadab and Abihu had no sons, only Eleazar and Ithamar served as priests with their father Aaron. The Lord said to Moses, "Assign the Levite tribe to Aaron the priest. They will be his assistants and work at the sacred tent for him and for all the Israelites. The Levites will serve the community by being responsible for the furnishings of the tent. They are assigned to help Aaron and his sons who have been appointed to be priests. Anyone else who tries to perform the duties of a priest must be put to death. Moses, I have chosen these Levites from all Israel, and they will belong to me in a special way. When I killed the firstborn sons of the Egyptians, I decided that the firstborn sons in every Israelite family and the firstborn males of their flocks and herds would be mine. But now I accept these Levites in place of the firstborn sons of the Israelites." In the Sinai desert, the Lord said to Moses, "Now I want you to count the men and boys in the Levite tribe by families and by clans. Include everyone at least a month old." So Moses obeyed and counted them. Levi's three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, had become the heads of their own clans. Gershon's sons were Libni and Shimei. Kohath's sons were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And Merari's sons were Mahli and Mushi. These were the sons and grandsons of Levi, and they had become the leaders of the Levite clans. The two Gershon clans were the Libnites and the Shimeites, and they had 7,500 men and boys at least 1 month old. The Gershonites, under the leadership of Eliasaph, son of Lael, were to camp on the west side of the sacred tent. Their duties at the tent included taking care of the tent itself, along with its outer covering, the curtain for the entrance, the curtains hanging inside the courtyard around the tent, as well as the curtain and ropes for the entrance to the courtyard and its altar. The Gershonites were responsible for setting these things up and taking them down. The four Kohath clans were the Amramites, Izharites, Hebronites, and the Uzzielites, and they had 8,600 men and boys at least 1 month old. The Kohathites, under the leadership of Elizaphan, son of Uzziel, were to camp on the south side of the sacred tent. Their duties at the tent included taking care of the sacred chest, the table for the sacred bread, the lampstand, the altars, the objects used for worship, and the curtain in front of the most holy place. The Kohathites were responsible for setting these things up and taking them down. Eleazar, son of Aaron, was the head of the Levite leaders, and he made sure that the work at the sacred tent was done. The two Merari clans were the Mahlites and the Mushites, and they had 6,200 men and boys at least 1 month old. The Merarites, under the leadership of Zuriel, son of Abihail, were to camp on the north side of the sacred tent. Their duties included taking care of the tent frames and the pieces that held the tent up, the bars, the posts, the stands, and its other equipment. They were also in charge of the posts that supported the courtyard, as well as their stands, tent pegs, and ropes. The Merari clans were responsible for setting these things up and taking them down. Moses, Aaron, and his sons were to camp in front of the sacred tent on the east side and to make sure that the Israelites worshipped in the proper way. Anyone else who tried to do the work of Moses and Aaron was to be put to death. So Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord and counted the Levites by their clans. The total number of Levites, at least 1 month old, was 22,000. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a list and count the firstborn sons at least 1 month old in each of the Israelite families. They belong to me, but I will accept the Levites as substitutes for them, and I will accept the Levites' livestock as substitutes for the Israelites' firstborn livestock." Moses obeyed the Lord and counted the firstborn sons. There were 22,273 of them. Then the Lord said, "The Levites will belong to me and will take the place of the firstborn sons. Their livestock will take the place of the Israelites' firstborn livestock. But since there are more firstborn sons than Levites, the extra 273 men and boys must be bought back from me. For each one, you are to collect 5 pieces of silver, weighed according to the official standards. This money must then be given to Aaron and his sons." Moses collected the silver from the extra 273 firstborn men and boys, and it amounted to 1,365 pieces of silver, weighed according to the official standards. Then he gave it to Aaron and his sons, just as the Lord had commanded. Numbers chapter 4. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Count the Kohathites among the Levites by family groups and families. Count the men from 30 to 50 years old, all who come to serve in the meeting tent. The Kohathites are responsible for the most holy things in the meeting tent. When the Israelites are ready to move, Aaron and his sons must go into the holy tent, take down the curtain, and cover the Ark of the Agreement with it. Over this, they must put a covering made from fine leather. Then spread the solid blue cloth over that and put the poles in place. Then they must spread a blue cloth over the table for the bread that shows a person is in God's presence. They must put the plates, pans, bowls, and the jars for drink offerings on the table. They must leave the bread that is always there on the table. Then they must put a red cloth over all these things, cover everything with fine leather, and put the poles in place. With a blue cloth, they must cover the lampstand, its lamps, its wick trimmers, its trays, and all the jars for the oil used in the lamps. Then they must wrap everything in fine leather and put all these things on a frame for carrying them. They must spread a blue cloth over the gold altar, cover it with fine leather, and put the poles in place. They must gather all the things used for serving in the holy place and wrap them in a blue cloth. Then they must cover that with fine leather and put these things on a frame for carrying them. They must clean the ashes off the bronze altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They must gather all the things used for serving at the altar, the pans for carrying the fire, the meat forks, the shovels, and the bowls, and put them on the bronze altar. Then they must spread a covering of fine leather over it and put the poles in place. When the Israelites are ready to move, and when Aaron and his sons have covered the holy furniture and all the holy things, the Kohathites may go in and carry them away. In this way, they won't touch the holy things and die. It is the Kohathites' job to carry the things that are in the meeting tent. Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, will be responsible for the holy tent and for everything in it, for all the holy things it has, the oil for the lamp, the sweet-smelling incense, the continual grain offering, and the oil used to appoint priests and things to the Lord's service. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Don't let the Kohathites be cut off from the Levites. Do this for the Kohathites so that they may go near the most holy place and not die. Aaron and his sons must go in and show each Kohathite what to do and what to carry. The Kohathites must not enter and look at the holy things even for a second, or they will die." The Lord said to Moses, "Count the Gershonites by families and by family groups. Count the men from 30 to 50 years old, all who have a job to do in the meeting tent. This is what the Gershonite family groups must do and what they must carry. They must carry the curtains of the holy tent, the meeting tent, its covering, and its outer covering made from fine leather. They must also carry the curtains for the entrance to the meeting tent, the curtains of the courtyard that go around the holy tent and the altar, the curtain for the entry to the courtyard, the ropes, and all the things used with the curtains. They must do everything connected with these things. Aaron and his sons are in charge of what the Gershonites do or carry. You tell them what they are responsible for carrying. This is the work of the Gershonite family group at the meeting tent. Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest, will direct their work. Count the Merarite families in family groups. Count the men from 30 to 50 years old, all who work at the meeting tent. It is their job to carry the following as they serve in the meeting tent: the frames of the holy tent, the crossbars, the posts and bases, in addition to the posts that go around the courtyard, their bases, tent pegs, ropes, and everything that is used with the poles around the courtyard. Tell each man exactly what to carry. This is the work the Merarite family group will do for the meeting tent. Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest, will direct their work. Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel counted the Kohathites by families and family groups, the men from 30 to 50 years old who were to work at the meeting tent. There were 2,750 men in the family groups. This was the total of the Kohath family groups who worked at the meeting tent, whom Moses and Aaron counted as the Lord had commanded Moses. Also, the Gershonites were counted by families and family groups, the men from 30 to 50 years old who were given work at the meeting tent. The families and family groups had 2,630 men. This was the total of the Gershon family groups who worked at the meeting tent, whom Moses and Aaron counted as the Lord had commanded. Also, the men in the families and family groups of the Merari family were counted, the men from 30 to 50 years old who were to work at the meeting tent. The family groups had 3,200 men. This was the total of the Merari family groups, whom Moses and Aaron counted, as the Lord had commanded Moses. So Moses, Aaron, and the leaders of Israel counted all the Levites by families and family groups. They counted the men from 30 to 50 who were given work at the meeting tent and who carried the tent. The total number of these men was 8,580. Each man was counted as the Lord had commanded Moses. Each man was given his work and told what to carry as the Lord had commanded Moses. Numbers chapter 5. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people to send away from the camp anyone who is unclean, that is, anyone who has a serious skin disease or discharge, and anyone who has touched a dead body. Whether they are a man or a woman, send them away so that the camp where I am living among you will not be made unclean." So the Israelites obeyed God's command. They sent those people outside the camp. They did what the Lord had told Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell this to the Israelites. You might do something wrong to another person. When you do that, you are really sinning against God, so you are guilty of doing wrong. You must confess that sin. Then you must fully pay for that wrong thing you did. You must add 1/5 to the payment and give it all to the person you had done wrong to. But maybe the person is dead and does not have any close relatives to accept the payment. In that case, you will give the payment to the Lord. That is, you will give the full payment to the priest. The priest must sacrifice the ram that makes the people pure. This ram will be sacrificed to cover your sins, but the priest will keep the rest of the payment. If any of you Israelites gives a special gift to God, the priest who accepts that gift can keep it. It is his. You don't have to give these special gifts, but if you do, the gifts belong to the priest." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this. A man's wife might be unfaithful to him. She might have sexual relations with another man and hide this from her husband, and there might not be anyone to tell him that his wife committed this sin. Her husband might never know about the wrong thing she did, and she might not tell her husband about her sin. But the husband might begin to think that his wife sinned against him, whether she has or not. He might become jealous. He might begin to believe that she is not pure and true to him. If that happens, he must take his wife to the priest. The husband must also take an offering of 8 cups of barley flour. He must not pour oil or incense on the barley flour. This barley flour is a grain offering to the Lord that is given because the husband is jealous. This offering will show that he thinks his wife has been unfaithful to him. The priest will take the woman before the Lord and make her stand there. Then he will take some special water and put it in a clay jar. He will put some dirt from the floor of the holy tent into the water. He will force the woman to stand before the Lord. Then he will loosen her hair and put the grain offering in her hand. This is the barley flour that her husband gave because he was jealous. At the same time, he will hold the clay jar of special water. This is the special water that can bring trouble to the woman. Then the priest will make the woman promise to tell the truth and say to her, "If you have not slept with another man, and if you have not sinned against your husband while you were married to him, then this water that causes trouble will not hurt you. But if you have sinned against your husband, if you had sexual relations with a man who is not your husband, then you are not pure. If that is true, you will have much trouble when you drink this special water. You will not be able to have any children, and if you are pregnant now, your baby will die. And the Lord will cause your people to speak evil of you and curse you." Then the priest must tell the woman to make an oath. She must agree for the Lord to cause these things to happen to her if she lies. The priest must say, "You must drink this water that causes trouble. If you have sinned, you will not be able to have children. Any baby you have will die before it is born." And the woman should say, "I agree to do as you say." The priest should write these warnings on a scroll. Then he should wash the words off into the water. Then the woman must drink the water that brings trouble. This water will enter her, and if she is guilty, it will cause her much suffering. Then the priest will take the grain offering from her, the offering for jealousy, and raise it before the Lord. Then he will carry it to the altar. The priest will fill his hands with some of the grain and put it on the altar and let it burn there. After that, he will tell the woman to drink the water. If the woman has sinned against her husband, the water will bring her trouble. The water will go into her body and cause her much suffering. Any baby that is in her will die before it is born, and she will never be able to have children. All the people will turn against her. But if the woman has not sinned against her husband and she is pure, the priest will say that she is not guilty. Then she will be normal and able to have children. So this is the law about jealousy. This is what you should do when a woman sins against her husband while she is married to him. Or if the man becomes jealous and thinks his wife has sinned against him, this is what the man should do. The priest must tell her to stand before the Lord. Then the priest will do all these things. This is the law. The husband will not be guilty of doing anything wrong, but the woman will suffer if she has sinned. Well, beloved, the book of Numbers is entitled In the Wilderness in Hebrew, and that is really what the book is about. The previous book, Leviticus, told the story of the Hebrew people and the year after God, through Moses, led them out of Egyptian bondage. It covered just a year. Well, Numbers covers the more than 38 years that they were in the wilderness. In chapter 1 today, God instructs Moses to take a census of all the men 20 years old and older who were able to go to war. You see, God was taking the children of Israel to Canaan, the promised land. People were already in that land, and the children of Israel were going to have to take the land, so Moses needed to know how many fighting men they had. Once the census was taken, Moses knew how many men there were and in what tribe and what families. Now, after taking the census, Moses organized the people by tribe and family, with leaders being named. Of course, all of this was done at the direction of God. Note that the priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi, was not counted in the census, the one that counted the potential soldiers. In chapter 2, the arrangement of the camps was described. The tabernacle was in the center, with the 12 tribes around it arranged according to God's instructions. They camped around four banners. The banners were a lion, a man, a calf, and an eagle. Well, guess what? In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 7, there are four creatures surrounding the throne of God. I bet you can't guess what the creatures were. Yeah, a lion, a man, a calf, and an eagle. Interesting, huh? In chapter 3, the Levites are counted, but they weren't counted like the other tribes. In this census, the males a month old and above were counted. And after the census, the Levite families were given their duties. I like what the great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said about the Levitical division of priestly duties. He said, "It is worthy of note that these Levites, although they were all equally consecrated to God, had not all exactly the same work to perform. God is not the God of all uniformity. There is a wondrous unity of plan and design in all that he does, but there is also an equally marvelous variety." Chapter 4 continued describing the duties of the Levitical families. In chapter 5, the Lord began to deal with the effects of sin among the people that he was preparing for the journey to Canaan. He told Moses to send people who were unclean, the lepers, those who had a discharge, and those who had touched a dead body, out of the camp. Each of these conditions is a reminder of what sin does. Why did this have to be done? Well, remember what God is doing with his people. He's preparing them to go into the promised land. He wanted to remind them that they must separate themselves from sin in order to accomplish this task. Notice also that in giving this command, he said, "Send them away so that the camp where I am living among you will not be made unclean." You see, God would not dwell where sin's effects were there. And the Lord gave Moses instructions on confessing sin and making restitution, and he had a lot to say about how to deal with jealous husbands and their wives. Jealousy, whether founded or not, can destroy a marriage. God's instructions, when carried out, would reveal the guilt or innocence of the wife, and the truth, once revealed, would then allow the husband and wife to take appropriate actions. It's clear that God does not want husbands and wives to endure the turmoil that jealousy brings. And since it appears that the ceremony seems to be a public one, this was another way for the Lord to teach the people about staying faithful to each other and to God. Now please know that there are different kinds of jealousy. Remember, God says, "I'm a jealous God." Now, if my neighbor gets a shiny new sports car, and I'm jealous because he got it instead of me, that's sin. I'm coveting. But if my neighbor is flirting with my wife, the jealousy that I might feel is because he has no right to flirt with her. She's my wife. Only I have the right to flirt with her. And if I give my worship to someone or something other than God, he is jealous, because only God is worthy of worship. So being jealous for something that rightly belongs to you is right, but being jealous for something that does not belong to you is wrong. So this passage in Numbers dealing with a husband's jealousy shows how they were to determine whether the jealousy was right or wrong, and as I said, they could deal with the consequences from there. One last thing. The fact that jealous wives' jealousy about suspected infidelities of husbands was not addressed does not necessarily mean that it never happened or that husbands got a free pass. It's entirely possible that this sort of ceremony could be employed in this case. What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow we're going to read 1 Chronicles 10 through 14. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. I was happy to spend some time with you today. Bye.